Okay, look at your body. Any part of your body. You know, what are you wearing? Have you got a ring on? Have you got a shirt on? Have you got a jumper on? Have you got arms? Have you got legs? Just look at your body.
I've still got my friendship bracelet from the girls off the beach in Bali.
Okay, so pick anything on your body and then ask yourself the question, where did that come from? How do we pick that word? Why is a tree a tree? Why is a tree called a tree? Why is a car called a car?
Do you know what a swordfish is?
It's a word that you made up. Yeah. A swordfish is someone who's not quite with the program, as far as you are concerned. Kate Burridge is a professor of linguistics at Monash University. And we want to ask a very basic question. Who decides that a word is a word and who makes it? Morning, Kate.
Good morning. Yes, that was the thorny little question that Elliot, age 5, asked me. Kids ask the darndest things.
So it's a pretty good question, really. I mean,
it is a great question.
I answered it myself by saying I think the community creates the word and then the general population catches on. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. We don't have an academy in Australia or in England, in the English-speaking world, for creating words. So it's the kind of collective creativity of humans, really, and it's always been that way. When you look at words like tree and shoe, which is what little Elliot asked about, you've got to go back about 30,000 years to know where those words came from. But, language is great at just recycling bits and pieces and putting them into new uses. They're the ultimate recyclers, really, languages.
So it's funny, when we were kids, we were picked up on language and the way we use words. And now, as we get older, we get annoyed by the youngsters coming through. And one word that they use a lot, instead of saying it, they go, them shoes over there. You know, they use them a lot rather than there or those or whatever the case might be. Does then it become acceptable for people to be walking around going, them shoes, I want them shoes?
That's right. What sort of non-standard or colloquial or scruffy, under our noses now will, if it survives, and it doesn't necessarily, will be, part of formal language in the future. That's how it's always been. And oldies have always complained about the language of young'uns.
Right. So what's your favourite word?
Oh, that is so hard. Actually, a word I was looking at this morning, because I love looking at early words, was the word pot valiant, which is courageous through drink, which I think is one we should never have lost.
How do you spell that?
P-O-T, so a pot, as is still used for a pot of beer, I suppose.
Yep.
And valiant meaning, it's not the car, but it's the, being bold or courageous or daring.
Or one word.
All one word, pot valiant. Pot valiant. They had a lot of those words in the 1600s.
So if I said to you two, eight, what would you, what does that mean?
I ate some food.
No.
I ate some food.
No. So this is Gen Z, right? So it's used to show admiration for someone who has succeeded or performed well in something. That's eight.
That's stupid.
Eight? Well, this is what I'm talking about.
So people love creating new words.
So Kate, when will you decide that eight is going to be accepted in that fashion? And who does it? It's just pressure of the community, or how does it get to a level of being in a dictionary, for example?
Well, the dictionary makers have a pretty hard time, really, but they generally track these words over a 6-year period, make sure they crop up in a number of different contexts, and if they've got legs, then they'll pop them in the dictionary. But most slang is spectacularly short-lived. I mean, look at, something like amazeballs or adorbs, They lasted about 3 seconds.
What about bestie?
Bestie? Well, bestie's been around for a while.
Oh, I know, but...
Yeah, I think you'll find that's in the dictionary, yep.
Okay.
Okay, so it's made it through that. It's an incredible thing. I wonder what objects people selected when we asked that little tease a little bit earlier. Kate...
We also swipe words, I should say. English is a great stealer. We are, a giant linguistic vacuum cleaner, as once described. So we've stolen words from about 350 different languages. So a lot of our vocabulary is swiped from somewhere else.
We need to have you back, Kate. There's lots of words we could get into, and we'll ask the audience now what words they'd like to check the origins out. We appreciate your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Kate Burridge there, Professor of Linguistics at Monash University. She was fun.
That was a bussin' segment.
Yeah.
Oh, that was bussin'. Bussin', Millsy. Extremely good. Excellent.
But that's not
going
to survive.
That was bussin', mate.
That's not going to survive. Groovy survived.
It's already survived. It's bussin'. Already in there.
No one's heard of bussin', mate.
This is what we've got to deal with. So.
Yeah.
the language that the youngsters, some of the language that the youngsters are using now, it's just like, what?
Yeah, Bob's picked another one up. So them and those, that where they use them when they shouldn't be using it. The younger crew say versing. Who are the Eagles versing this week? It drives me nuts, says Bob.
That's Cap.
That's what?
Cap.
What does that mean?
You're lying.
Oh,
Cap,
is that what
mate.
That means?
Yeah.
Wow. We should do the whole program like that and see if anyone could actually understand what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Actually, we do every day.